Okay, let's get to it. Hour number two, Mitchell Henderson. I have just gotten a note from our friend, Russell Bentley. I hope to have Russell on next week. He said, lots of news from here, both good and bad, but mostly bad. But I hope some good is coming soon. 13 civilians murdered by the Ukrainian army yesterday. 2 children blown to pieces. Worst thing I've ever seen. All right, so we'll have Russell on next week to bring us up to speed on his view, the truth of what's happening in Donbass. The referendums are due to start on the 23rd, so if I bring him on about the 29th, they should probably have the count done by then. And you can imagine Zelensky will be throwing fits, well, staged fits, because 90% of the people in the referendum areas all want to join Russia. They want out and away from these lunatics. Can't blame them. All right. Mitchell Henderson is with us this hour. Mitchell, we'll get Russell on next week, and I know you'll want to hear that. He's right there. Great sources. Yeah, you have great sources over there. Russell was the first person, I think, honestly, to be on live radio from Donetsk when this... I've known Russell for almost 10 years now, but he was the first on to report from Donbass when the Russian movement began, the special operation. So anyway, go ahead. Welcome back.
Okay, well, thank you for having me. We're going to talk first about Russian strategy. Okay. So the past week I had lots of questions, so I contacted my sources in Russia and the Russian Army, as well as my retired U.S. Army officer in Ukraine. Okay. So when the Russians invaded Ukraine in February 2022, their goal was to stabilize Ukraine and keep it from joining NATO, because that would be an existential threat to Russia. It is existential because Ukraine is the space that defended Moscow from both Napoleon and Hitler. To have NATO right on the Russian border, just 300 kilometers from Moscow, would mean forever insecurity of the Russian people. We want to give Ukraine missiles so they can fire them and slaughter Russian civilians. Russia cannot allow that. The pedophile Marxist Biden regime is a direct threat to Russia. U.S. foreign policy calls for the destruction of the Russian state and breaking geographical Russia up into 17 different countries that would be actual puppet states of the United States, just like Ukraine is a puppet state of the United States right now.
Correct. Yeah.
So this is not a secret. Ever since the Obama regime engineered a coup and overthrew the democratically elected president of Ukraine and installed the woke American puppet regime and invaded the Donbass to exterminate ethnic Russians in a program of ethnic cleansing. Right. In 2014, that conflict was supposed to be resolved between the Donbass peoples and the Ukrainian government, according to the UN-brokered Minsk protocols. The negotiations were supposed to be between the leaders of Donetsk and Luhansk Oblast leadership and the government. From the very beginning, the Ukrainians did not honor the Minsk Accords and instead began systematic slaughter of Donbass Russian men, women, and children without mercy. In February 2022, Russia had enough. It launched a special military operation in order to save ethnic Russians living in Ukraine. I want to just interject here that when Ukraine became an independent country, the provinces that are going to vote all wanted to be part of Russia. They vehemently opposed being a part of Ukraine. So this was messed up from the beginning. Okay, the Ukrainians did not hate the Russians until America agitated and bought the Ukrainian government. The Ukrainian government serves American interests, not Ukrainian interests. This is evident by Hungary having problems with the Ukrainian government because Ukraine abuses and terrorizes ethnic Hungarians that have lived in Ukraine ever since the dissolution of the Austro-Hungarian Empire in 1918. Ukraine also ethnically cleanses Roma people, known as gypsies, by painting them green in order to let Ukrainians know that it is legal to rob, rape, and murder them. How can this possibly square with the woke progressives? It is through accepting narratives dictated by the state instead of looking at reality that leads them to not question anything. You are expected to obey, not think. So the Western response changed Russian strategy after the first few months. Russia had a bigger opportunity to actually destroy NATO through the European nations infighting, to destroy the EU through the energy crisis, and to create an alternate world order. In this case, Putin had to do nothing. The West was making decisions that would harshly punish its peoples. The government of the United States was okay with this because it is official U.S. policy to punish and exterminate white people. The old pedophile Marxist Biden said this in a speech on September 1st. He said clearly that white people are the enemy of humanity, so it is okay to slaughter white Ukrainians for the sake of advancing U.S. Marxist power in the world. Since America is mostly white, as is the Marxist leadership, wokeness sure. amongst white people is, in fact, racial suicide.
Putin that's a statement that you ought to hang on to. That's a good statement. It's very appropriate, right to the point. It is. It is suicide.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Putin decided to cut his expenses in Ukraine in order to fight the sanctions war. After Luhansk was liberated, Putin did not invest in further actions and decided to keep the forces in Ukraine to a minimum. This month, he decided to withdraw forces from Kharkov in order to concentrate those forces along Advika, north of Donetsk City. Taking the city was key to liberating the remainder of Donetsk. Why? Because Ukrainians have had 8 years to dig in and develop entrenchments and bunkers at the Advika front. It is very difficult to attack such formations. Let me illustrate. During the Korean War, there was action fought at Chipyongni. U.S. infantry battalions were placed on adjacent hillsides. One infantry battalion commander had his men dig in good with trenches and bunkers. The adjoining battalion on the next ridge did not dig in at all. That night, tens of thousands of Chinese people's volunteers made swarm attacks in front of them and swarm attacks on the two positions. In the morning, the dug-in troops were intact with thousands of dead Chinese in front of them and minor casualties. The other infantry battalion was decimated. Attacking a dug-in opponent is almost suicidal. So to move the reinforcements to the Advika front from Kharkov required a withdrawal of troops. Of all military maneuvers, nothing is more dangerous and difficult than a withdrawal. Let me illustrate. In 1066, the Normans invaded England, and the English went out to stop them at the Battle of Hastings. The battle was on a marsh, making it difficult to maneuver in. The English broke and ran. The Normans pursued, as should always happen, and destroyed the English forces, who were cut down on the run. A successful withdrawal was like the 1st Marine Division under Major General Oliver Prince Smith at the Chosin Reservoir during the Korean War. The division was saved and successfully evacuated from Hamhung by sea. It was an ordeal nonetheless. So these things are not easy to do. The withdrawal from Kharkiv was not initially under pressure, but the Ukrainian army can only have successful counteroffensive when the Russians withdraw from an area. The Great Kherson counteroffensive was a flop. Ukraine lost 4,000 men on the Kherson front and 9,000 men on the Kharkov front. We, just for reference, we lost about 7,000 dead in the 20 years of the global war of terrorism, to include both Afghanistan and Iraq. Okay, so that's more people than we lost in 20 years of the war on terrorism in a single day. Okay. So Russian media reports that one-third of the casualties were in fact soldiers from NATO nations. Forensic investigations show that where the dead were from. However, Russian officers on the front line say this is incorrect. Two-thirds of the dead were from NATO nations. Many of these were actually regular army soldiers from NATO nations. The Ukrainians can't win, so NATO soldiers are sent in to fight. They make clear that these were not mercenaries, but regular troops. The United States also bragged about directing artillery and missile strikes and providing Ukraine with the intelligence and planning for the attack. We, of course, supplied all of the firearms and ammunition. The Russian military is angry with Putin about pulling his punches and going to war on the cheap. The Russian forces have had a decrease in morale. They feel like Putin is not watching after Russia's security. They are thinking he is too soft. I wonder if anyone has told him, well, things are about to change, okay? So Russia has blamed missile attacks on the Russian citizens on Russian territory on U.S. intelligence and U.S. military technicians. On September 14th, Russian National Security Assistant Dmitry Medvedev said, and I'm going to quote this at length, if NATO continues the unrestrained pumping of the Kiev regime with the most dangerous types of weapons, then sooner or later the military campaign will move to another level. Visible borders and predictability of the actions of the parties to the conflict will disappear from it. It will follow its own military scenario, involving new participants. And when Western countries will not be able to sit in their clean houses and apartments, laughing at how they are carefully weakening Russia with someone else's hand, everything will catch fire around them. Their people will know grief in full. They will literally will have the earth burning around them, and they will see concrete melt. We will get a lot of it, too. It will be very bad for everyone. After all, it is said, quote, from these three plagues, from fire, smoke, and brimstone coming out of their mouth, a third part of the people died, Revelations 9:18.
Right.
But while the narrow-minded politicians and their dim-witted think tanks thoughtlessly twirling a glass of wine in their hands, talk about how they can deal with us without entering into a direct war. Dull idiots with a classical education. It is expected that within days, the official assessment of the Russian Ministry of Defense, it will be publicly acknowledged that the armed conflict in eastern Ukraine has definitely escalated into a state of war between Russia and NATO, with unpredictable results for all parties to the conflict. This is an ultimatum, people. Your government is not listening. Are you? Okay, so the Russian ambassador to Washington, Anatoly Antonov, stated, quote, the Pentagon is openly siding with Kiev and bragging about it. It is cause for deep concern that the U.S. government is openly boasting that the Ukraine's battlefield successes were achieved with the Pentagon's direct involvement. Against this background, Washington's statements that the U.S. is not a party to this conflict sounds absolutely ridiculous and unfounded. Facts and interviews of former and current politicians and generals say otherwise. Kiev's patrons are hungry for power and money and are not interested in peaceful solutions. There is talk in the West about negotiation. There is little talk in the West about negotiations, only about sending more weapons to Ukraine. Their only talk is about destroying Russia and breaking into 17 new nations that will be controlled by America. So, talking to my sources inside Russia and Ukraine, I asked what the next moves are. The bombardment of Russian cities from Ukrainian soil is likely to provoke Russia into declaring war on Ukraine. Then the Russian battalion commander tells me American involvement at any capacity will bring a declaration of war on the U.S., U.K., Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. A Russian declaration of war on Ukraine for attacking Russian territory will be followed by a major military mobilization by Russia. Okay. So let me just say right now, and let people know this, that the troops are moving now. Troops are entering. They're entering Russia, Ukraine from Russia as we speak. An entire division of airborne troops was moved from Syria into Ukraine today, into the Donbass area. Okay. So I think tomorrow there's supposed to be a speech by Putin. We can maybe look for a declaration of war on Ukraine, possibly a declaration of war on the United States. What makes me think that? Well, my journalist over there, she says that government officials are leaving Moscow.
Why
would they be leaving Moscow?
No, it's a big sign. Big indicator.
And what's worse is in Washington, D.C., American government officials are leaving D.C.
Isn't it nice that they would leave
to protect their butts and not notify the American people of what's coming?
Oh, they're not our government. These are interlopers. They're traitors. I'm looking at the 24th to the 27th, 25, 26, 27, right in there. I was told to watch very carefully and be prepared. Those are very significant dates.
I've heard that repeatedly from multiple sources. I've heard the mention of the 24th. So this is widespread. Well, the only thing is they don't describe exactly what will happen on the 24th. They just say
Rosh Hashanah
is going to happen.
Rosh Hashanah is the 25th to the 27th. So there you go.
Oh, okay.
That's the Zionist card.
Yep. So I asked them about nuclear war, and they told me that it will be announced by nuclear detonations in the West. I asked if they would send a few demonstration nukes, as many Western leaders have suggested. He said that is the problem with the U.S. Our leaders are idiots out of touch with reality. No one in their right mind would ever start a nuclear war with just a few attacks. Russian doctrine is all or nothing. If they launch a strike, it will not be to persuade us of anything, nor to scare us into anything. Doing such a timid response is suicidal.
No, that's
in a nuclear war, you must completely destroy the enemy on the first shot. There is no second shot. From their point of view, Russia and the world are not safe as long as the United States exists. They must completely defeat us on the first shot. World War III will be over within an hour.
Wow.
Okay, so let me go on to the failure of the United Nations.
Don't forget one other thing, Mitch.
Oh, go ahead.
The referendums in Donbass, in Luhansk and Donetsk, and the Zaporizhia area, and Kherson are all scheduled for around the 23rd. So that's right before.
Right.
So those people, you know, if they vote on the 23rd and the vote count is, let's say, finished on the 24th, they're going to vote 90% to join Russia. They will be, as of the 24th, Russian citizens. And any action taken against them will be an attack on Russia. That's the way it's going to work. And the Russians will have grounds to fight back.
Today said that these would be sham elections. Okay. I just find it ironic that a man who is in his position due to a sham election in the United States would accuse Russia of a sham election.
Well, the hypocrisy here is out of sight. It's out of sight. Go ahead.
If you listen to these woke people, they always accuse the opposition of what they do. Okay.
That's true.
They say Republicans and white
reverse
people
projection.
Are threats to democracy.
Always. Always. Yeah.
Right. And they, in fact, are the threat to democracy. As a matter of fact, there is no democracy in America now. We're not a democratic country. So.
Well, we never really were.
Next thing I wanted to cover was the failure of the United Nations. Also on September 14th, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov stated, either grain goes to Africa and Russia opens an international food market, or the Russian Navy again blocks Ukrainian ports. But this time, with the landing of Russian troops and the destruction of the entire port infrastructure. Okay? This was also an ultimatum to Ukraine. Under the UN treaty, under the UN, Turkey, Ukraine, and Russian grain shipment agreement, Ukrainian ports would be open to ship grain to Africa since the UN was worried about people starving to death there. The arrangement was for humanitarian reasons because the U.S. and UN had come to the conclusion that although everybody would soon suffer through food shortages, it was an international emergency that the marginalized peoples of Africa would suffer disproportionately.
Right.
They said, this is to make Russia look bad, but Russia solved the problem. Or did they? Only 2 out of 85 grain shipments from Ukraine went to Africa. 83 of the 85 went to Europe.
Wow.
This is why Lavrov issued the ultimatum. The flood of wheat into Europe has undercut the prices of European farmers can get for their wheat. It is a very typical of woke Marxism to champion the underprivileged, then screw them out of everything. Woke Marxists don't care about people. They care only about power. This incident also demonstrates the uselessness of the United Nations, which itself is a woke Marxist institution.
Right.
Another glaring failure of the UN was their report on the inspection of the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant. The final UN report stated, and I quote, we demand Russia immediately cease all actions against and at the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant and any other nuclear facility in Ukraine. Russia formally protested that not a word was said about the potentially catastrophic Ukrainian shelling of the nuclear power plant was made. And as a matter of fact, the Ukrainians shelled it today. And they shelled they ruptured a pipeline that carries water in to cool the plant. Okay, that could cause problems. The United Nations is not neutral, but clearly a tool of the woke progressive West. Russia's mission to the IAEA stated that the document was pushed through by the West while the majority of humanity refused to support it. Those voting for the document were the U.S. and its allies. The United Nations is and always will be a tool of U.S. policy. Uh-huh. Washington is seeking to drag the conflict out for as long as possible while still controlling how it develops, which is a sign of America's direct involvement in the fighting. This led Russian Foreign Ministry spokesman Maria Zakharova to declare, quote, if the U.S. decides to supply longer-range missiles to Ukraine, it would cross the red line and become an actual party to the conflict.
That's
it. Notice two things in her statement that was made the day after Medvedev's, the statement, which was made the day after Medvedev's Armageddon speech. First, that she said explicitly, any longer-range missiles, so it does not have to be the longest, just longer than what we are currently giving them. They can track and know. It's easy to track where missiles come from and where they land. That's so easy to track.
Yeah. That's why
the United Nations just out and out lied about the Zaporizhzhia plant. The second is, she said the U.S. would become a party to the conflict. Not maybe, but for sure. The implications are that the United Nations is not capable of possibly helping the cause of peace because they have ceased to be an honest broker. This led to Putin's speech in Samarkand at the Shanghai Cooperation Council saying, the current attempts to push for a unipolar world have taken an absolutely ugly form lately, which the overwhelmingly majority of nations of the planet find unacceptable. Russia and China stand together for a just, democratic, and multipolar world order based on international law and not on some arbitrary rules that somebody invented and attempts to impose on others without even explaining what they are. Okay, so please note that by a democratic world, Putin does not mean to say that all nations must be democracies. China and the United States are not democracies, but that world government should be democratic, with each nation having its own form of government and each nation having one vote. The United States is democratic in the same sense that North Korea is, the People's Democratic Republic. A woke person pointed out to me that we know America is free, a free nation, because we democratically voted to legalize marijuana. I had to point out that marijuana has never been illegal in North Korea. You can buy it freely at any marketplace. It became illegal in South Korea in 1971 because Richard Nixon made them outlaw it. It was an integral part of Korean traditional culture. The fiber is used to make their traditional clothes, and the seeds are used for chicken feed. Nixon, with total disregard for Korean culture, pressured them into making draconian laws. The penalty for possession was life in prison for less than 100 grams and a mandatory death penalty for possession of over 100 grams of marijuana. Woke people are appallingly ignorant, and they respect other cultures the least. Woke people are a threat to humanity, an actual threat. Woke people are not humane. They push the most ignorant and stupid beliefs, such as the Green New Deal, critical race theory, public health authoritarianism, the Great Reset, the Great Replacement, and LGBT propaganda. The United Nations pushes all these things also. So this World War II brought about the United Nations. World War III will bring about its end. But this is a cycle. We had the League of Nations after World War I. It was eclipsed in World War II. The United Nations came about. World War III gets rid of the United Nations. Okay? So I should point out that is dead serious because the United Nations is stationed in New York City, and all the governments of the world have representatives there. That is the big target. That will be vaporized in a nuke. Okay? So
yeah, nukes,
there won't be much talking from the UN.
I do believe that there may well be some truth in what I was told, that the Russians are going to, rather than guarantee a nuclear winter, they're going to use all along the East Coast, Gulf Coast, and West Coast underwater ignited 40 megaton warheads, 50 megaton, whatever, big ones. In other words, these warheads will create a 2,000-foot tall tsunami, which will roar inland as far as it can go, wiping out everything in its path. And that's what I hear. Now, that doesn't mean there won't be some airbursts, but New York City, gone. You've seen the feeble attempts to warn the public. They're laughable. It's a joke. It's like they got to tell us in advance what's coming. Same old story.
It reminds me of when I was a kid in Florida during the Cuban Missile Crisis. They had us all get under our desks at school and bend over and kiss our asses goodbye, basically.
That's exactly what it was.
Even as a child, we knew that that wasn't going to protect us from a nuclear bomb.
Right.
People just uninformed, okay? So on the other side of the world,
soon they'll be dead and uninformed.
Oh, yeah, dead and uninformed. So on the other side of the war, the Taiwan war, on the other side of the world, on October 16th, Chairman Xi of China stands for re-election as the head of the Chinese Communist Party. Things are not good in China. There is a power struggle between factions of the Communist Party. The first faction is the Princelings. They are the direct descendants of the original Communist Party. Xi was one of them, but Xi split because he wanted to run for a third term. The second faction is the Zhang Zemin faction. They are the Communist Party officials that rose to prominence in the party after Mao Zedong. They feel like they have personally earned their status and is not predicated on family ties. They also do not want a third term for Chairman Xi. Then there is the Xi faction and that Xi has developed over the past 12 years with his China dream philosophy. The election is therefore not a sure thing. It also does not help that China is in economic dire straits. There's very much wrong with China. Intelligence sources tell me that China could fall into anarchy and break apart. Chairman Xi does not want to end up the Gorbachev of China. Chairman Xi is walking a very fine line. There will never be a better time than now to invade Taiwan and reunify China. Doing so will make the leader who does it a hero of the communist Chinese. But it is an election. If he goes too early, there will be time for things to grow wrong by the time the vote comes. If he times it right, then he will unify the party behind him, and he will win the vote. Okay, so a good time for them to go is if Russia declares war, then I think China would be encouraged to go. They may have already discussed this. It may be something between Putin spoke at Samarkand, and perhaps they put the finishing touches on it. I don't know. Secret between them, anyway.
Yeah. Question.
So, the United States
do you want to take a break, or do you want to keep going?
No, go ahead, take a break.
Okay. Mitch Henderson is giving us, again, inside information, and his remarks about New York are, I believe, quite accurate, and New York will be one of the first places to be vaporized. I don't think there's any question. Boston, right with it. And if you think about Boston, that's a brain trust for all manners of science in this culture, what's left of it. So they'll be wiping out New York on an international basis, so to speak, and Boston. The whole area is gone. Gone. All right, back in a minute with Mitchell Henderson. Stand by. Okay, welcome back. Talking with Mitch Henderson about, I don't know, the 25th, 26th, 27th, the referendum is underway in Ukraine. The totals probably will be finished by the 28th or 29th and announced. We'll see. I'm going to get Russell Bentley on the 30th here. He'll be reporting from Donetsk, and we'll have the insight on that. Go ahead.
Well, I want you to keep in mind, though, that Russia is dealing with a bunch of idiots over here, okay? Our leaders are idiots.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What Russia may be doing, and this is a possibility, is they may be saying the referendum will be held on the 24th, because the idiots in America will think, oh, nothing's going to happen before the 24th, which gives them an opportunity for a surprise attack before the 24th.
Correct.
So I'm not saying that that's what they're going to do, but in global strategy and grand strategy, that's what you think of, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know. The old pedophile Biden keeps demanding Chinese obedience to him. This is why Biden uses stronger threats on China than he does on Russia. State Department spokesman John Kirby said on September 15th that the U.S. wants China to support the U.S. and the West against Russia. He said, our message to China has been consistent. This is not the time for any kind of business as usual with Russia. Failing to condemn Russia is leaving China isolated from the rest of the international community, which has largely condemned what Putin has done in Ukraine. It is time for China to pick sides on Ukraine. The whole world should be lined up against what Mr. Putin is not doing. Okay, so the Shanghai Cooperation Organization that does not want to follow Washington has over half the world's territory and over 40% of its population. And add the BRIC nations, and you have the majority of humanity opposing U.S. power.
Right there.
John Kirby is so arrogant to preach and demand obedience to America from China and the world. Okay, so there's a reason for this. China's economy is critical for the U.S. and Europe. Europe exports $399 billion worth of goods to China and imports $541 billion worth of goods from China. China only imports $9 billion from the United States, but exports $275 billion to the United States. China is Europe's most important trading partner. The European economy would crash if China stopped trading with them. And I should take a note that the idiot Biden, the pedophile idiot Biden, has decided that they should sanction China before they invade Taiwan. Okay? So what does China have to lose if they do invade Taiwan?
Nothing.
That begs the question.
A major American general said today that China does have the ability to blockade the entire island of Taiwan.
Yes,
right now.
They do.
They have it.
They do. So imagine sanctioning China. That would destroy Europe and America's economy. Okay?
Yeah.
So former Greek Prime Minister Alex Tsipras, leader of the Syriza opposition party, said yesterday that the second biggest loser after Ukraine in the ongoing conflict is in Eastern Europe, both economically and geostrategically, is the European Union. If China goes to war over Taiwan, Europe will collapse. A Swedish newspaper reported that they uncovered a RAND Corporation think tank paper suggesting that goading Ukraine into a war was a good way to impoverish Europe and take its power away. The global elite in the USA want to be the base of the Antichrist's power. Invading and sanctioning China would finish Europe off and send it into anarchy. Who would the Antichrist, the Zionist, prefer to win this war? Russia. The Antichrist will not want to share power with anyone. That is out of the question. So if China falls, Europe falls, and the U.S. falls, that only leaves Russia, who has a big military, but whose economy is the equivalent of Italy's. At the moment, those arrayed against the Antichrist are Russia, China, India, Pakistan, South Africa, Brazil, Mexico, Turkey, and Iran. Notice that those backing the Antichrist are the traditional Christian nations. Yes, Americans, your government is the Antichrist, and if you support it, you know what's going to happen, okay?
Right.
We should hope that they win. The United States continues to antagonize. Republican Senator Lindsey Graham and Democratic Senator Bob Menendez have submitted the Taiwan Policy Act to the Senate. It will reinforce U.S.-Taiwan policy. It will immediately supply $4.5 billion indirect military assistance to Taipei and bolster Taiwan's sovereignty. Wait, I thought we had agreed that mainland China had sovereignty over Taiwan. I guess it changes. Mitt Romney, lapdog of the woke, said that the bill was very provocative, but he voted for it anyway. So humanity is facing the worst times in human history precisely because our brain-dead leadership cannot listen and cannot think. The pedophile Marxist Biden regime are actively destroying America. Under the old pedophiles regime, America has fallen from 32 on the developed nations rating list to 43 in just 1 year. That's nine countries were ranked better than us after just 1 year of Biden in
office.
So it's not that nobody knows. We hear facts all of the time. On September 19th, Vice Admiral Carl Thomas said that the Chinese Navy has the forces necessary to accomplish a blockade of Taiwan, according to the Wall Street Journal. A blockade of China's number one strategy for taking Taiwan. Biden once again this last Sunday night, said that if China attacks Taiwan, the U.S. will defend it. Biden specifically said that U.S. servicemen and women would fight for Taiwan. So, it's like China would like to use the blockade because it means less damage that they have to repair in Taiwan if they can get it to go that way. The United States has said, well, a blockade is an act of war, but Taiwan is their own country. How can you do an act of war against your own country? Taiwan is sovereign territory of China, so they cannot blockade it as an act of war. It's just it's just an internal affair. As far as the United Nations is concerned, it's an internal affair. Okay, so these people they create some bogus reality, and then they operate from inside of this bogus reality of wishful thinking that they have. What the problem, I think, is America was always a great country, and by the time the woke people got it, they're still thinking that we have the power and the ability that we had 10 years ago. We don't. We don't have that power. We've been losing that power steadily since 2000. Okay?
So, Mitch, another question. How much of our military munitions and weapons inventory of frontline weapons been given to Ukraine? A significant number, or are we just cleaning house with older inventory that needs to be and will be replaced by the military-industrial complex?
Oh, no. We have given them all our stuff. We don't have anything. For example, the Javelin missiles that we all sent over there,
It'll take 3 years to replace them. That's
yes,
right.
It'll be 2026 before we get the new Javelins, okay? To replace them and stuff. So we sent a bunch of stuff over there that
you won't even recognize this country.
Is our stockpile for war. We've already blown it in Ukraine. We've placed that bet, and we
70% of it went to the black market to line the pockets of the Zionist oligarchs and others that rotten.
As a matter of fact, just say this: a Javelin missile costs $178,000. Once it's produced and paid for. But you can buy one on the back market from Ukraine for only $30,000. It's a bargain. It's a bargain.
Well, what are we waiting for?
Cleaning up on this corruption.
Yes.
So the pedophile Marxist Biden regime will not stop until we are impoverished and all who we love are dead. Yet the Marxist Democrats will get a supermajority in Congress come November 4th. Who will vote for their own destruction? You will, whether you like it or not. Okay? I do encourage you to go vote on that day and vote Republican. Vote for your survival. Okay? I'm not saying the Republicans are much better. Okay? They're in this war. They jumped into this war with both feet. Okay? And happily. This was the crisis that the Republicans had available to use as leverage to oust the Biden regime. They could have swept if they would have made an issue. Let's look at the Republicans who have run already. Like this congressman in New York, he ran, and what he did is he just put out that he supports Ukraine 100%. He lost the election. Okay. As bad as the Democrats do, if the Republicans run on supporting Ukraine, they're going to lose. Nobody cares about Ukraine. Okay. Why would Americans really care about that? Look at all we have to suffer while we watch billions of dollars go to Ukraine, into a black hole, into a black market hole, I should say. Okay. So, just just remember, the motto of the Marxist Democrats is by any means necessary. They want the woke narrative of reality established as truth no matter what. Americans, they just can't leave you alone. You must obey. That's what they want. The Democrats, the Marxist Democrats, are about power, and they want obedience. Okay, they want to take all that you have. Okay, they even want to take your life. Okay, they don't care about you. Okay, but they'll win the election. You'll see. They need to get a supermajority in Congress so they can pass every asinine, stupid, worthless, wasteful, woke idea that comes in their numbskull brains. Okay. They'll just keep it on and keep it on. It's like a gift that keeps on giving, okay? It's just like we make rogue causes. We have to throw all this billions and trillions of dollars at woke causes and solutions, whatever, which are not a solution to anything, okay? They don't solve any problems. Right. Just like the Inflation Reduction Act does more to create inflation than it does to solve it. Okay, it's like it's just wasteful spending on green ideas and stuff like that. You know, it's like we don't need that. We need gasoline. You know, is what we need.
Oh, we need those rotten electric vehicles. Those horrible.
Oh yeah.
Polluting, environmentally disastrous electric vehicles. What a joke.
Well, I'll tell you something right now just from my own experience. I have a cabin. In my cabin, I have a solar system, and this is not just some cheap solar system. This is a state-of-the-art, good solar system and stuff with inverters, special batteries, all that kind of stuff. It is woefully inefficient. Woefully inefficient. You have to learn to live without electricity. Living in solar means living in blackouts all the time. Not only that, but what if I have 5 days of overcast rain? I'm out of power. I don't have any power. You know, I don't know what these people are talking about. This is not good technology. This is inefficient technology. And actually, the World Economic Forum, they know that it's inefficient technology because they think that it can only handle 500 million people. That's it. It can only support 500 million people. So 7.5 billion people have to die at the altar of green energy. And trust me, green energy is a false god, okay? It's a god that will fail us. It will fail humanity. It will fail individuals, okay? It is not efficient a form of energy, okay? So, you know, they never stop to think that the things that they, how much coal do they have to burn to process the silicon for the solar panels? Okay, well, just about as much.
I believe
as much
more energy
is how much coal they have to burn.
Yes, I believe more energy is consumed creating an electric vehicle by a considerable margin than creating a gasoline vehicle. I believe that's true for a long time.
And then the most efficient lithium batteries are lithium thionyl chloride batteries, which are in some cars now. But thionyl chloride is an extremely toxic chemical. It is a forever pollutant. If it gets in the environment, you cannot get it out. Okay? It is the base. It is one of the major chemicals for the production of nerve gases. Okay. Right. It is an extremely toxic and evil chemical, okay? And you're going to drive around in your car sitting on top of gallons of that stuff? Okay, and what about when those batteries have to be disposed? Where is this thionyl chloride going to go to? Where? You know, this is going to be more of an environmental disaster than gasoline ever was, okay? So, I don't know. I think what we're looking at is I would advise everybody to watch very carefully tomorrow and the next day to see exactly what Russia does. I think Putin's supposed to make a speech at 8 o'clock in the morning Russian time. I don't know what time that is for us. But he's going to make a speech. Nobody knows what that speech is going to be about yet. But the guess is it's about war. Okay.
The final pronouncement and warning to the Russian people that whatever happens from here on out, be prepared for war.
Yeah, I mean, do you think that the National Security Advisor of Russia is going to tell us that Armageddon is coming? If it's not, I mean, why would he say that?
You read Medvedev's warning earlier tonight, and
Medvedev,
at the top of the page.
He spelled it out. He's clearly talking about nuclear war. So it's like I don't know how Putin operates or anything. I don't know if he does listen to people. He does take advice. Okay, uh-huh. You know, he's not like an autocrat. Okay, he tries to rule by consensus if he can, and for the benefit of the Russian people and nation. Okay, I wish we had a government that would run the government for the benefit of us, but it doesn't. It runs the government for the benefit of power, and they're not interested just in power in the United States. They want world power. They want to be the rulers of the world. These weak-minded, woke, sissy globo homos want to be the rulers of the world. Never has a less capable, less intelligent, less people with less integrity try to rule the world than what we have right now. Okay, they are the worst of us, and they are doing this. Okay, so they live in like a capsule. They live in their own world. Your world doesn't matter to them. Your world isn't even a consideration for them.
Not in the least. No. All right. Well, you've laid it out perfectly. I'll tell you this, by the end of the month, if we get there, the 30th, from this Friday, we're going to know a lot more about a lot of things. I think you're right.
I think so. Yeah. Things are heating up. I mean, it's just they kind of slackened a bit, and then all this stuff. And you'll notice that it's the pedophile Marxist Biden regime that keeps antagonizing. Like when Maria Zakharova says, no missiles, no longer missiles can be brought in, that is a cue for Biden to send more bigger missiles in. I mean, from Russia's point of view, we've got to be so super predictable. You know, I mean, I know what our government's going to do. They're going to do the stupid, ignorant thing every time. Okay, and Russia knows that they're going to do that too.
It's true.
You know,
you're right on the money.
Yeah,
it's all true.
So,
this is the dumbest bunch of frauds and phonies I've ever seen.
Oh, me too. I've never seen him so incompetent.
Oh, hideous. All right, Mitch, thank you very much. We will talk to you next week. Okay, good night.
Okay, thank you.
Mitchell Henderson. All right, stand by, and we will take a little break and come right back another hour for you all around this troubled world of ours coming up next.